The Tax Structure Committee consisted of myself, Senator Jones, Senator Lager, and Senator Pergeson. We met for about 4.5 hours, and I didn't count the emails, but it was about 3/4 of an inch thick. Many proposals related to tax policy, whether it be increasing taxes, decreasing taxes, moving from income to sales tax or the other way, utilization of tax credits, tax loopholes, whether it be the Jeffrey loophole, the timely filing discount, consideration of the yacht tax, a lot of ideas for us to go through. We also had two presentations, one by the Director of Economic Development and another by the Department of Revenue. And I'll go through. We have six items for you to consider. And the first was a very bold and sweeping proposal offered by the Director of Economic Development on tax credits. And the proposal, I believe, would provide predictability. It would make the overall exposure to tax credits considerably smaller, would make the Department of Economic Development more nimble in approving projects, and also nimble related to maximizing the state's return on investment. Certainly would provide a greater focus on return on investment, and would really create a rebalancing of which the state prioritizes its resources for tax credits and their various uses. And I do have a proposal that all of you should have outlining the proposal. It's the tax credit reform proposal. This is what was offered to the committee. Briefly, what we have now, 60-plus tax credit programs spread throughout several state departments. Many representing very specific interests. I think we have, through discussion we've had over the last couple of years, good grasp on what we have now. Get to really what the proposal does. If you go to the second page, what the proposal does is it would create a global cap, and the global cap would be calculated as 70% of the 2009 redemptions, less the circuit breaker and the homestead tax credits, which is estimated to be in somewhere in the neighborhood of roughly $320 million that would be available, $320 million. What the proposal would do is, in addressing predictability, is it would allow for that number to fluctuate based on revenue growth. So if growth, if we grew at 2%, it would allow that cap to grow at 2%. If the revenue number fell, the tax credit number would fall as well. And it would take those 60 programs, and it would allow the functions of those programs to continue, but it would separate them into six categories: business development, community assistance, public infrastructure, redevelopment, affordable housing, and financial and insurance. And then there would be a minimum allocation, and that's present in the handout. And then to provide the department flexibility to address projects or other priorities as they arise, it would allow 20% to operate as an at-large a pool of credits to go into one of those six categories. you can see the other provisions creating no carryback features, maximum 5-year carry forward, no entitlements. It would take the entitlements away and make the credits discretionary. And if the department decided to not utilize the 20%. Pool that's available for at-large, the commitment towards those six areas would be roughly $250 million in tax credits. So You know, this proposal is not without controversy. There are a couple of graphs that would show in terms of dollars when you're looking at that how this breaks down with what we currently, how we currently prioritize by spending these tax credit programs. You can see, obviously, we didn't have a color copier, but you can see in terms of dollars how we operate now under those six categories, and then also under, you know, this new proposal, were it to be adopted, what the funding would be, or the tax credits available, and how those would be broken down into the different subject areas. So, because we have a estimated $2.3 billion tax credit liability that's currently out there of credits yet to be redeemed, there would not be a significant immediate savings to the state budget. But over time, you would see a considerable savings to the state budget. And this would also allow the flexibility for the department to land major projects and to put more resources toward that. The second item was creating an interim committee, and for lack of better – one other thing on the cap proposal. This was a majority opinion of the committee. It was not a unanimous opinion. That's not one that Senator Pergeson agreed with. He regrettably had to leave. You want to make sure that I pointed that out. He was more interested in, I believe, in seeing a phase out of the Department of Economic Development, and that really we needed to do our efforts needed to be more broad based and less toward targeted tax incentives. Item number two, interim committee on the optimal tax policy. There were emails related to adopting a flat tax, the fair tax, consideration of streamlining a sales tax, and as I mentioned, the Jeffrey loophole. Regardless of whether we take action on issues like the fair tax, we know that these ideas are being pursued by initiative petition. And it would behoove us to become more educated and try to develop some consensus about where we believe the state needs to go to best position us from an economic development standpoint and from the standpoint of the ability to meet our obligations. So, you know, that would be the focus to build consensus and to produce a report providing some direction for the legislature. Third item, we have 132 tax exemptions, and we have no way to quantify what the lost revenue or the impact of those tax exemptions, what they have on the state budget. So, what we believe we need to do is to identify a way, and in some ways we can look at municipal governments if they don't have a tax exemption. There are things that we can do to put a number for each of those tax exemptions, but we need to do that so we can assess their impact of the budget and from a policy perspective whether it's wise to continue that exemption. Some of these have been on the books for 30 years. So as a purpose for review and to look at other budget decisions, we need to do that. Number four, there's a way to streamline the Department of Revenue related to the timely filing discount for remittance of sales tax. Right now you have a number of retailers. If you pay the tax on time, you get the 2%. And you have businesses will wait, and if you mail it in, then you get the float on waiting for that transaction to clear. So one of the ideas was to have that timely filing discount be tied to electronic payment of that sales tax remittance. So as a way to help bring the Department of Revenue streamline technology, or streamline their processes to use the timely filing discount to encourage electronic payment. And then number five, as in Senator Lemke's committee, the Senate Bill 1016, the enhanced revenue collections through the Department of Revenue's presentation, we'll pursue those as well, but only in the context of it needs to be done without increasing FTEs. So, and they're aware of that, and they're looking at how they can do that with their existing staff. And then the last item is not related to tax, but basically we thought as a committee that we need to review the biodiesel and ethanol as it relates to the state's budget, to understand what the extent is or the exposure, the state's commitment to those projects, and to look at really if there are any allowances for new projects, or basically to get a better handle on what we're spending and what we expect to receive for that spending. So that's the work that we did in the Tax Structure Committee. Thank you.